Our second scripture reading, if you'd like to flip to Philippians chapter 2 with me, I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 11. And it's a slight change up from what was sent out in the newsletter, but we go as the Spirit leads. Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So, last week, we went on a little bit of a different journey, and we studied the first chapter of Galatians. Now, in that study, we kind of got an idea of what Paul was combating when he was preaching to these churches in Galatia, central Turkey area in our mindset. And to these churches, they had been pulled away and confused by those who were preaching a different gospel, which Paul says is no gospel at all, because the gospel outside and the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And as I went through that and I got some feedback, and the question came about after I asked, how do you spot a counterfeit? And my lesson last week was knowing the true gospel very well helps you see when counterfeits appear. The question arose of, well, what are some counterfeits that we see? And as I started thinking over this, there are a few early church heresies that came about for various reasons that still hold some weight today. And so this is a very large, broad topic that I'm hopefully going to try in the short time that we have today, hit a few highlights and come down on the main points, which you see in your bulletin, the sermon title, Jesus, Fully God, and Fully Man. So, most of you are probably aware that there was the Council of Nicaea in 325. And they had a large job of trying to address some of these early church issues. Brief history lesson, because like I said, it's a very large topic. Between when Christ was crucified, died and rose again, ascended into heaven, and 325 BC, or AD, excuse me. There's a lot of history, a lot of stuff that went on, but one of the biggest things that happened is you had the spread of the gospel. You had Paul going on his missionary journeys, you had the apostles in Jerusalem and Israel preaching the gospel, and it just spread throughout the Greco-Roman world. Unfortunately, at the same time, there were persecutions of Christians. So you didn't have the chance to come together at these big ecumenical meetings to kind of divvy out and see, okay, what's being preached down in Africa? Okay, what's being preached up here in Greece? This was one of the first times they had the ability to gather and say, okay, what is Orthodox belief? What is the truth? And within that time, a couple things came up, and one of the very first ones is something called Gnosticism. Now, the Gnostics had a very interesting belief, and they had this thought of secret knowledge. Gnosis in Greek is knowledge. So if you can gain secret knowledge, then you gained power, you gained enlightenment. And what went along with that is they saw flesh as bad, spirit as good. Now you can already see where that may have some issues when we talk about the incarnate Jesus. God became flesh. Uh-oh, flesh is bad. How do we reconcile that? And so there were these weird thoughts coming down and being spread around that, oh, Jesus, okay, he's God, but he can't be flesh. Oh, it just looked like he was on the cross. He wasn't really there, but it looked like it. And when you read some of John's stuff, the epistles that he wrote, even like the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, if you read through those, he talks a lot about Jesus coming in the flesh. And that was one of the reasons why, because the Gnostic belief was already spreading very quickly and very early in church history. So he had to squash that pretty quick. And in the Gospel of John, we get that very first opening. And just to make sure I don't make a mess of scripture, it's always good to go back to the source, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So in John setting up, the Word, which became flesh, was with God and was God. So that's one of the things that starts to creep into theology, is that Jesus, fully God, but not fully man. And then you had, a little bit later, the heresy of, I'm going to make a mess of this word, Celebianism, I believe. It's very strange. But Celebius had this idea that there was a distinction between God and Jesus. And there is a metaphor of he's saying, God is fully perfect, fully pure. Think of the sun. Now, the rays of the sun are the same essence as the sun, but in a lesser quality. So we feel the rays of the sun, but it's not quite the sun. So there's a distinction between God the Father and Jesus the Son being somehow lesser. And you start to see how these heresies are playing out. Either Jesus was fully God but not man, or he was a created being but not God. And this continued when the Celebianism was denounced by the church. A new teacher came up, Arius, which led to Arianism. Not to be confused with Arminianism, which is 16th century. I did that on test once. Don't do that. Don't mix the two. Because Arminian is just a different thought process in theology. It's not considered a heresy. So Arianism said that Jesus was the first creature, the very beginning of creation. God created Jesus. But he's exalted above the rest of creation, but he's not quite God because he's created. What's the problem with that? We know that creation fell. Creation has the ability to fall. Jesus was without sin. Jesus did not fall. Jesus was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. And one of the problems here, as people were trying to read through Scripture, They're trying to figure things out in their head. And they're saying, okay, I see that God is one. But then we have the Son of God, but he's still one with the Father. And then you throw in this weird third thing called the Holy Spirit, which is also God, and it messes with people's minds. Where are we going with this? When we look at Scripture, we need to read the Scriptures as they are written and understand what God has revealed to us. Where God said in Philippians that Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. So in Christ you have fully God and fully man. What happens if we go with one of these heresies and say, okay, he was one of the created beings, but he's exalted over everything else. Wouldn't that still be a perfect sacrifice? No, as we just said, that creation fell. If you don't have Jesus as fully God, then his sacrifice didn't mean anything. He could not have been the once-for-all sacrifice for sins. Without Jesus being fully God, you have no salvation. So you see how, if you start taking the Scriptures and tweaking them and saying, now, okay, I'm reading that, but if God was X, why wouldn't he do Y? Therefore, God must think Z, and we start putting on God our thoughts of ways that we think the world should be. There's the key. We start creating God in our image. We start wanting to be the ones who write the rules, the ones who make the judgments. Think back to the garden. What did that sneaky little serpent do to Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? Will you surely die if you eat of the fruit? Oh, you sneaky. But that's the problem when we stray from God's word. When we don't read the amazing revelation that God has given us. If we don't have Jesus as fully God and fully man, then we're not doing anything here. This entire thing is meaningless. The table that we're about to come to is worthless. But God is Jesus. Jesus is the Son, connected with the Father, connected with the Holy Spirit, in one essence, three persons. While the things of heaven are mysteries to us, and we try to wrap our small little brains around it, doesn't matter what our conclusions end up being, he is still God. Jesus is still fully God, fully man, incarnate to this day. Think about that. He is still incarnate. Because he came down to earth in the flesh, was crucified, his blood ran. He was placed in the tomb, but then was raised from the dead to conquer death. Without him being fully human and fully here with us, the blood could not have run. Blood could not have covered us. And he could not have died for our sins to be that once for all sacrifice. That's why God's revelation, Scripture, is so important to read, to understand, to fully gain the revelation of God with us. The Holy Spirit works with us as we read Scripture. And we need to pray every time we come to the Scripture that the Holy Spirit guides us, directs us for His will, His glory. So how does this apply to today? Well, I just mentioned the big one. If He wasn't God, then the communion table means nothing, and we're just, gathering together for some food. But we have to be very vigilant when we hear people try to explain God and be like, well, I don't really like that passage. What if God was doing this and it contradicts Scripture? If you know the Scripture, you can say, wait, let's go back to this passage, and that may be leading us down a bad path. Because as I mentioned, the early church, they were trying to wrestle with all these theological issues, and they wrestled well. If you have the opportunity, read the writings from St. Athanasius from the Council of Nicaea. He was like the superstar at the Council of Nicaea and put an end to the Arian heresy. Funny little story about that. If you read through all the council stuff, there was another guy called St. Nicholas. Sound familiar? They actually got into a fist fight at the council. St. Athanasius decked St. Nicholas. So even when reading the church history, you can get a chuckle at things. But he felt so passionately, I'm not saying don't deck anyone, not saying that, but he felt so passionate about it that there was actually a fist fight. So reading some of his writings, the early church fathers, they went through all of this back and forth trying to figure out what is the Holy Trinity, who is God, who is Jesus, and they did a lot of legwork for you. And we just need to go back to the Scriptures, use their writings as references, and understand the amazing revelation that is God's Word. Because today we hear all types of different thoughts about who Jesus was, and some have twisted Christianity to just a moral philosophy, something to live by. But if it's a philosophy that we just buy into, if a better one comes along, we'll just go on to that. But if we have a personal, salvific relationship with Jesus Christ, we are saved. Because no matter what we believe, He is coming back. He's going to remake the world, new creation, new heavens, new earth. Revelation 21:22 tells us what the end is going to be. God with us. Not on some ethereal plane where we're spirits floating on clouds, where flesh is bad, spirit is good. No, it is God with us here on earth. New Jerusalem coming down from the heavens. New heavens, new earth. God dwelling with His people. Jesus on the throne as God has promised. This is why theology isn't so important, but proper theology that is based in Scripture, lest we lead anyone astray. So like I said, this is going to be a larger topic, or we're going to continue down this path as we look into more of who Jesus was and is. For now, let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Jesus. Jesus on the cross, Jesus in the tomb, but more importantly, Jesus resurrected, conquering death, conquering sin, and giving us new life, and giving us new creation. Lord, we thank You, we praise You. Lord, help us to know Your word. Reveal it to us through the Holy Spirit. that we may be your image bearers and preach the gospel throughout the world. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.